Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood. Justin.
Bruce, how are you? And happy Monday to all our listeners out there. I'm extremely excited, you know, to be with everyone today, like every Monday. But you know, had some interest. Had an interesting week and weekend, and as did you, which I'm excited to share with, you know, with our listeners here today.
Yeah, it's not fair. Like, you know a little bit more about my weekend than I know about what you're saying. So I'm totally in the dark. So I have to unpackage that a little bit as well. Like, I have no clue what you're going to say. So that's just a suspenseful element here on the Concierge Coaches Show, where things aren't scripted or planned. Everything is off the cuff and spur of the moment. Not true. But... So
let's start with you, Bruce, because I was Facebook and Instagram stalking you all weekend, and I was living vicariously through you, you know.
Yep.
Admittedly.
Let's talk about it. Yeah.
You know, so what the hell were you up to, Mister? You know, you were had some good ass time, it looked like.
Well, that's the good thing about social media, is that you can kind of skim the cream and put that out there for people. But yeah, for the most part, I'd say yes. So I guess on a Friday, you know, I finished the office at about 7:30, and then just called, check in with the troops and everybody. They were already at this Asian fusion place, so I missed out on that. No, that's not true. I got some Tom Kha soup. You didn't get to see that. The place was shutting down, man. The place was shutting down. But then there's this other place, this dessert place. Anyway, and it's that's where the social media explosion started to rock. You know, it's amazing, because you never know. And I put this out on my Instagram and Facebook. It got incredible traction. I took a picture, folks, of some like Thai rolled ice cream that was mint Oreo. Right? Have Oreo and mint and whatever, and they grind it and, you know, get the thing and roll it up. And it had this kind of, right? They put the rolls of ice cream in a cup with a chocolate drizzle and a mint Oreo on top with little green garnishes on top of it. And it has these two cookie straws on either side. Well, they're not straw. It looks like a straw, but it's actually a cookie. Anyway, they look like little bitty baseball bats. And they put them on the side. And so I thought, man, this was quite the work of art. And so before I started eating it, I took a picture of it. Holy cow, Justin, like, people came out of nowhere on both platforms, man. Like, not that it's food porn, but it was like a beautiful shot. Like, I mean, it was just, you know, you got the green and the Oreo and the chocolate syrup and the you know, kind of accentuated with the little cookie thingies and the little green garnish. So, I mean, it was very aesthetically pleasing. It's kind of like a Pinterest, you know, and shot or something. And golly, you know, that that just brought the folks out there. And then the other thing.
Bring them out.
Brought them out, man. I mean, coming out of the storm drain, man. To see the ice cream picture, and
ice cream picture,
and then another kind of championship moment.
I love how you call it a championship moment, by the way.
Because yeah. You know, when you're kind of an old boomer, and you know, had a discussion, you know, the boomer that gives advice, and this Gen X guy next to me said, I'm just watching the world burn. Like, wow, okay. But, yeah, as a boomer, you know, it's food and family that really kind of gets you going, or at least me. Let's see. I'll make sure I don't leave anything out here before I get to the poker shot.
Oh, boy. See, folks, we're all just living vicariously through Bruce at this point in time.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'm glad I'm double-checking here, man. So, okay. So, yeah, right? So, there it is. The mint Oreo rolled ice cream. Yeah. Comments and likes to boot.
I didn't see that one. Where is that one?
You know what? That's on Facebook. You know what? The mint Oreo thing didn't make Instagram. So you must be just watching Instagram.
No, I saw it on Facebook. Wait, I'm on your Facebook right now. So
scroll down long enough and hard enough, and it's the one before the cat. Or on top of the cat. I took a great picture of my cat.
Jeez. Oh, too funny. You're too funny, man.
Man,
I love
this. It's a Russian blue, you know, and he's sitting, the cat is sitting next to some poinsettias that are still alive from Christmas. And folks, if you ever want something to live a long time, give it to me and have it reside in my house. I've had hamsters and rabbits lived in their 20s. I've had things that ordinarily die never die. So please, if you know, you can DM me. There's something you want to keep alive. I'm not open for hospice or palliative care, but other smaller things that you want to keep alive, it's in my house. So anyway, so there's the poinsettia and the cat, and there's the rolled ice cream, and then a very close friend of mine came in from Austin for a couple of days. We were hanging out near the stockyards. We went to a Lebanese place that Justin, so it was this Lebanese place that had like a Lebanese pizza with this kind of seasoned sausage, but it had goat cheese underneath it, man. Holy cow. Can you imagine goat cheese as your foundational element in a pizza? with a lemon?
Not as much, but you know, hey, listen, whatever floats your boat.
Well, man, it's more of a, you know, hey, you know, I'll try, you know, my Anthony Bourdain, you know, like, yeah. Parts unknown, man, just like, all right, yeah, I'm gonna have this you know, goat cheese experience. Then we had the hummus that had the sausage on top of it, and it was me and my friend, and so nobody else went. And so then I had the combination plate that had the gyro and the chicken, the rice, hummus, and then he had this Italian sausage plate, so with the onions and stuff like that. And I had the Turkish coffee. Now, this is a moment where I break off and take the Turkish coffee picture. It's this nice silver pitcher with two small cups with the little sugar cubes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great move, because the Turkish coffee got its own metric set that actually performed as good, if not better, than the other montage. Okay, then from that we listened to music that was popular back in our day, something called ska. Do you know what that is? S-K-A. It's kind of part reggae, part... Anyway,
Scott, Scott used to be popular in the 90s?
Well, I wish it was. It certainly was in the early 80s. And so one of the big record labels was Two Tone, and I was able to get a shot of, we were listening to a compilation on YouTube and my big screen TV, and I took the Two Tone picture. Yep, the only people who liked it were about my age. And then, last but not least, came yesterday, just kind of had a startup poker game, and hey, thank you for liking the mint Oreo. Thank you. I see it coming through here.
There you go. Yeah, I found it.
Bruce Cameron hotline just rang with the Oreo. But then we had the pickup poker game, and it was kind of instructional in nature. We had a couple of young players teach them some of the foundational elements of five-card stud, seven-card stud, five-card draw, progressing to roll your own, and then finishing up with some Texas Hold'em hands. And I have this really cool blue table, and man, I thought the red, black and white chip red in the cards was a nice contrast against the blue with the overhead lighting. Boom, take that picture. Got some good play there. And so people are now hitting me up to stay on the get on my poker list. So that's fun. I enjoy playing poker. Do you play cards at all, or gamble, or
I don't. I wouldn't say actively, but do I play and do I know how to play? Yes, actually. Oh, in my Texas days, believe it or not. I used to play some underground Texas Hold'em. I won't tell you where.
Okay.
You can probably guess if you know Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex. You can guess what area, what part of town it was in.
I know exactly.
HH, Boulevard.
Gotcha. Right.
But so I did a little of that, and obviously I played in college and all of that before, but. Actually, in after college, yeah. So when I first started my career, my first couple years in Cisco, we had kind of this like training program, which was sort of like another year of, I guess you'd call it college again. And so we did poker games like every week. So I'm familiar. It's been some years since I had a regular game going, but that's why I saw that picture and that caught my eye in particular.
It really does. I'm glad that you stopped by and noticed that. And that's, that is a good skill set to have, because, you have to stay sharp. And, if you are counting cards or whatever on a single deck boot and keeping up with what's been played and stuff like that, then you can really, right, it's not necessarily gambling in the pure sense. You're reducing risk, right? But it's still, there's still that element of chance and those things, but it's, you're making some informed choices. So good for you, man. That's it. Wouldn't you agree that poker is a good skill set to have mentally?
Well I would say more about the and what I would say for is an art of reading people. I mean, poker is the ultimate in being able to maintain composure and also read people. And if you're a good poker player, you can probably be good at just about anything in life. I know that's over accentuated, but I mean, damn, if you can sit across from the table and you can read people's gestures, that's just like going and closing a deal, in my opinion, right? When I go and close a deal in person and I'm sitting across the table, or ideally I'm sitting side by side with someone, because again, matching and mirroring would suggest that if you're sitting across from someone, it's a little tip to our listeners, right, who have heard the term NLP. If you're sitting across from someone, the subconscious makes it feel like you're competing with them. If you sit next to them, it's like it's a cooperative nature. Being able to read people is key, and I think poker is an ultimate game in that.
You stumble onto something there that a lot of men, when they communicate, they're side by side. They're fishing, they're driving, they're watching a sporting event. But Justin, if you notice, a lot of women are face to face when they communicate. And women do not see it the way you just said, in terms of being a confrontation. You know what I mean? Because they want to get up in each other's faces, like, well, let me tell you what happened. You just won't believe da-da-da. Whatever's going on. I'm not trying to be. But you know what I mean? Like, if you think about it for a minute, a lot of women don't do side-to-side. I mean, their preference is to do, face-to-face or face each other. So, but as men, we don't necessarily do that.
Okay, so let's stay on that vein for a moment. Do you know why that is?
Well, I'll say that there is that kind of intensity and that I don't want to say competitiveness, but you know what I mean? That face-to-face thing is a pretty, you know, it can be a pretty serious thing when guys get to that. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm sure there's some sort of ethological, right?
Yeah. You're on the right track now.
Okay. Okay. Let's hear it.
So it's biological, really.
Yeah.
I mean, men, you know, men and women are designed differently for a reason, right? And in man's world, if you think back to primal caveman, right, cavewoman days, it's the, you know, old adages of face-to-face, competition, beat your chest.
Right,
women, right, you know, have a more cooperative nature by nature, so they don't need, that it's not instinctually that way for them. But I will say this, if women had to learn or do learn the art form of positioning themselves side by side with other women, all of a sudden it's like mind blown. So like, for example, you know, obviously Naomi, my better half, we're always coaching each other and helping each other and whatever. So when I shared this, you know, some of these tactics with her, and she's used it now, she's had tremendous success. So I know it works, right? It's just about, you know, yeah, it's comfortable by nature for women to be across the table. And by the way, it's probably similarly for men, but men innately have that organic competition that feels when you're across the table from someone.
Yeah.
And biologically and subconsciously, when you put yourself parallel or side by side with someone, it's like you're on the same playing field, mm-hmm, and instead of casting competition, you're casting vision. That's why I loved your
casting vision. Wow, that's so coachy sounding, man. That's awesome.
Oh, I know.
You don't have a coaching show, man.
Every once in a while, Bruce, I pull a nice little nugget out of my ass. So,
well, that was a nice one, man. That was a big old moon rock with Keith sprinkled on it. I'm just kidding.
It was like that rock. Oreo wrapped mint.
Yeah, man. Look at you. Yeah, and I, you know, to also piggyback on that, like I'll start side by side and then get guys in a circle, you know, talk in a circle, and then, you know, that circle, you know, sitting in a circle and talking in a circle is pretty, it's kind of a face-to-face, you know what I mean, deal. So,
and it's uncomfortable for men. And
at
so,
first, yeah.
Well, my story to that is, you know, I'm part of a men's small group for, you know, church that we go to out here, and it's on Friday mornings, and, you know, you got these men sitting around in a circle. That is not a man, like men don't do that. So it's already naturally an uncomfortable thing. But by doing it and forcing yourself to do it, after you get through the unpleasantries and some of the rapport building, you know, which this typically, you know, it's an hour long small group. And after about 15 minutes of, I call it bullshit, then you finally can dig into something, and it can be quite productive. You know, but getting a man to that point is not easy. You have to have a level of receptiveness to it.
Yes, they do. And yep, build trust and see the value of it and all that good stuff. But yeah, when it's a church small group, it's kind of, you know, the context of that is pretty
safe, know, space.
And promote. Yeah. Promote good vibes there, good Christian vibes there for everybody to be supportive. And it's just that accountability piece gets kind of rough for some guys.
Yeah.
Is this more of a, is it both support and accountability kind of combined type of men's?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely spiritually focused in the sense that, you know, everyone, and does, by the way, doesn't belong necessarily to the church I go to, you know, but goes actively attends or belongs to a church. But there's other levels of accountability because there's, you know, we check in with each other, right, every week. So it's like, hey, how's, you know, that situation, you know, the, obviously keeping the conversation going. So there is definitely accountability, right, from a group perspective, I would say. So, yeah.
Right, man. That's good. That's good.
So, speaking of, and not to digress or take a shot.
Just us today, man.
Figured we might as well anyway, you know, because
it's our show.
We're not understand. It's our show. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
That's right.
So what do you say? I know some big announcements over the weekend from it's called, you know, professional football perspective. Gronkowski retiring, and one retires and someone comes out of retirement. Mr. Witten coming back next year. Holy cow!
Yeah, man. I don't know what to make of that. You know, I know that he wasn't necessarily at home as an analyst. And I think that was a driver, you know, as well as what I think he can bring, you know, I think he can get back in there and bring something to the team. So, and plus that's just a good move. Right, for the Cowboys, that's just plenty to talk about. That's plenty of news, media. I mean, there's plenty of talk on that. Oh, hey, look who's coming back out. You know, so I like it from a advertising, you know, hype standpoint, right? That,
right,
you know, here's this guy coming back in. And so, I think it sparks interest for me. You know what I mean? I think it's a plus for the Cowboys, and it's a plus in my column, like, because then, you know, I'm honestly, Justin, I'm honestly, right, more likely to tune in. I don't know if about purchase tickets, but I'm surely more likely to tune into a game and see if he's playing, if they put him in, you know what I mean, and see what he looks like on the field. You know what I'm saying? If I was marginally interested, well, I would just tune in for sure just to see him. You know, and if they were winning, I might stick on, you know, my pass-through rate might be longer, you know. So, I
was excited about it. I always loved Jason Witten and still do. To me, he's a prototypical football player. Like, not even prototypical. He's a football player. Like, the dude, I can't remember how many years ago it was the game, you remember the game he played with the broken rib? Mm-hmm. Actually, maybe it was two ribs that were broken. But I was like, this dude's a fucking gamer. Like, that's how football used to be. And then, you know, his best friend Tony Romo comes along and cuts his fucking finger and doesn't play. And I'm like, how are these two friends? But whatever, that's beside the point. but that's, you know, it's like the good old days, and that's, by the way, he's representative of sort of what, and I think the Cowboys used to be great, you know, in the 90s, and they played and won and weren't prima donnas. And, you know, obviously, you know, far away from that now, but I just find it interesting, you know, and where I was going with this story, by the way, was, you know, I listened to a lot of the sports talk radio or podcasts, you know, sports related, thinking my sports fix. And I listened to a lot of Colin Coward. Have you heard of him? He's one of the ESPN analysts. And, you know, obviously out here in L.A. right now, everyone's is like fucking pissed off right now about the situation with the Lakers and LeBron James. Like, everyone's like, what the fuck did you pay this guy $120 million for? And we didn't even make, like, they're not even going to make the playoffs. I think at least they make the playoff, right? So Colin's talking about how he was on a flight and he sat next to this guy on an international flight or something. And he could tell, you know, it was first class, so he could tell the guy was successful. He got talking. Guy was a former CEO, several CEOs of different companies that he's sold off. He's a multimillionaire, right? Successful guy. And they're talking, and the guy, you know, recognized Colin as well. Like, hey, you know, what's your take on LeBron? And Colin's like, you know, I just think he wanted to go to LA to do the LA thing. I don't, you know, obviously there's basketball involved. It was an LA thing. And the guy's like, yeah, you know, and he told Colin, you know, listen, one of the best things I ever learned to do as a CEO, and that's led to my success, is learning when to get off the track or the hamster wheel, if you want to call that. And, you know, so Collins, you know, basically took that and said, you know, hey, LeBron should have taken a year off and come back. People forget Michael Jordan took 2 years off over the course of his career, and he's gone down as the best player ever. So it obviously didn't tarnish his career. So you think about modern day CEOs and other leaders, government officials and whatnot. Jason Witten, right? Sometimes taking a year off is okay. And even if Witten only plays one more year, maybe this year is a redefining moment for him or for the Cowboys, and maybe it leads to his next career opportunity, if you will, right, inside of, or outside of the organization. So I'm a big fan of it. I've personally done it, right? I've taken, you know, half a year or a year off, and not off, but I would say outside, taking it outside of maybe a corporate context or whatever my former role is. And it's something so necessary that I think a lot of us still fail to do. And when you do, you know, because you're myopic, right? You get tunnel vision. When you step outside of that, that's when you see the whole playing field.
Yep. Yeah. And then, yeah, your perspective and everything, you know, is different coming back in there. So, no, man, I think that's good stuff. Yeah, know when to get out or retool. You know, I think I've talked about the founder's trap on the, you know, we talked about that, this show and other stuff. It's a similar, right, situation where, you know, you just kind of, you're comfortable, but yet, you know, perhaps the organization is stagnating. I was thinking kind of like Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, right? If that's happening. But we'll see what, you know, we'll see what happens. And so what about the rest of you? Some earlier in the week, you said some stuff happened.
Yeah. So last week great advice to all you listeners out there, especially the entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs, small business owners. You know, one thing that's just so important in building your business is business development. All right, let's get it straight. And if you don't like business development, then don't be a small business owner or an entrepreneur, because you're not cut out for it. I'm just going to tell you straight up. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if you want to be an artist, but you don't want to go sell yourself, then don't fucking try. Like, that's it. That's game over. Because, right. And you could talk to Mark Cuban or any of the greats that have built these empires. They'll all tell you the same thing. So I'm not saying anything new. I'm reemphasizing it maybe. And last week was a great example of that. I had, recently I've joined up with the Irvine Chamber of Commerce, which, you know, check out, you know, again, to you listeners out there, look into your local chambers of commerce. Great place to start. Whenever you're conducting business development, I see there's a multi-touch or multi-channel approach. You know, you got to look at the online stuff, and we started the call off by kind of talking about some fun, social media posting, obviously, you know, that Bruce was doing, and that's obviously an element of, but there's the in-person touch as well, right? There's email touch, there's all these different touch points, and I'll tell you, and from my experience, if you want to close the most deals the fastest way to do it is to meet the right person in person, hands down. It'll take you probably seven times as many touch points to move someone through a quote unquote sales cycle if that relationship initiates online. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's just going to take longer. So understand that. But if you're open to it and you're open to learning and you're open to meeting some people, you know, getting out there, networking events, joining a chamber of commerce, your local chamber of commerce is a great place to start. As I say, start local and then grow global. In today's society, you can absolutely build a global business online overnight. There's no doubt about it. But the people who are going to be there with you, your raving fans, the people that are going to promote and inspire, influence, maybe be your biggest supporters and referral bases are oftentimes the ones in your backyard. So don't discount that opportunity. I went to 3 events last week. I probably generated, not even probably, I'm looking at a stack of cards right now that is taller than my face. So behind my computer, you know, in my office upstairs, I stack my cards, my business cards, like Legos. Actually, I'd say like Jenga blocks more so, or Lincoln logs. There you go. So I crisscross them. For every event I go to, I come back with a stack of cards. I put it down either vertical or horizontal, and then the opposite for the next one. Reminds me of what event I've attended. It's just kind of my business development method. And over time, you build a nice little stack of cards until you're like, okay, that's probably tall enough. It's going to fall over. And then I build a new one. And it's a little game I play with myself to see how many stacks and how tall I can build these stacks of cards. Every card represents a lead. Every lead represents an opportunity to make money. And yeah, I'm looking at a nice, sexy stack from last week, probably 100 plus strong, that I'm just like, you know, salivating at. And so that's part of it, though. And I love that part of it. And some people out there might not love that part of it. But you have to at least be willing to do it. And if you're not willing to do it, you don't have to love it. But if you're not willing to do it, then I'm just telling you right now, you're not meant to be, you know, in the driver's seat of the company, right? Find a role for yourself or within another company that will. Because that's what it takes starting out, starting a business, at least growing it to a level where you can then hire out other people to do some of that for you. So that was what a lot of my week last week consisted of, Bruce, was business development. And it was fun, you know, planning on doing a little bit more of it this week. And, you know, and then next week, I know I'm going to miss everyone next week because, you know, the next 5-6 weeks, you know, is going to be on the road, you know, pretty much every week. So got some fun stuff planned. What about you? What was your week last week?
Well, I was going to go back to the Chamber of Commerce thing. I joined the Chamber of Commerce here in our little Pleasantville town, like you said, and many years ago, you know. And many years ago when I had this fledgling, you know, private counseling practice. And and honestly, just at the time, I was the only kind of counselor, mental health person in the Chamber of Commerce, right? And yep. And so then I got buddy-buddy with the realtors, one in particular, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, if you can just close your eyes and imagine a lady with blonde Texas hair. And
yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so, right. So, you know, I'd sit at the table with the real estate ladies, you know, and because at the time, it's earlier in the 2000s, there were just a lot of lady female real estate personnel.
In Pleasantville. Yeah.
Agents and brokers in Pleasantville, that I'm the only dude at the table. Very interesting. And there were a couple of attorneys and divorce attorneys. I mean, excuse me, family law attorneys. Well, anyhow, just like you're saying, just getting out there, meeting folks, telling them what you do. To me, it was interesting having all those face-to-face human interactions because it helped me refine my brand, if you will. You know, it helped me kind of figure out who was going to be who gravitated toward me, I guess you might say, or whatever, what kind of work, or, you know, I just found out a lot about myself and how to talk about what I did, you know, again and again and again and again and again. And that right there is, you know, it's, yeah, you're marketing, you're making touch points, you're developing a stack of cards, you got a stack of leads. You know, I get that from a traditional sales perspective, and you know, that's kind of frowned upon in the mental health world. You know, you're not supposed to really market per se. You'll be very, very, very careful, you know. You know, so the only thing I could really do ethically inside the scope of a license is say, hey, my name is Bruce. I have an office. I do this kind of work. You know, That's pretty much it. You know what I mean? You can't you can't give out any other metrics like you'll be 20% more sane after working 4 weeks. You can't say that. You'd lose your license. So so everything's kind of truncated to what? To the handshake or the smile or hey, I'm not, y'all need anything, I'm down the street, whatever, you know. So anyhow, all that to say is that that is an invaluable experience. You know, it's not corny. You're getting in front of people in your area. And even though you may have a global presence or I have a nationwide presence with two of my service lines, I'm here to tell you, I'd still make it a point to go to, there's a school district. They have a counseling association. I'll go to those meetings once every 2 or 3 months, you know. There'll be a Pleasantville area meetup for counselors, you know, and I'll go every now and again, you know what I mean, just to say hello and touch base, because people forget. Justin, you might, I don't know if you want to speak to this, but they'll forget about what you do, and then once they see you, it's a prompt, almost like a conditioning prompt, like, oh yeah, you know, I know somebody who could really know, you know, benefit from your services, right? And they wouldn't have made that connection had you not been in front of their face or in the room. You know what I mean? So,
wow.
So just speaking for me, you know, because then,
yeah,
I swear I would go to these Pleasantville meetings, and then, you know, I get 4, 5, or 6 calls in the next 4, 5, 6 days, and then, you know, service those clients, get whatever, and I'd get into a lull, and I say, you know what? Let me make another personal appearance somewhere. And boy, you know what? I didn't mean that like Elvis.
I know. It's just funny coming from you.
Yeah, I have the CC Rider music. Da-da-da, yeah, and kind of the intro. But no, I'd get out there and meet some folks, go to a gathering, and Flower Mound had a little gathering, and I decided to speak on a topic, and boom, you know, so which is across the pond, you know, from Pleasantville, and across the pond. That's funny. Literally. Anyway, so folks, yeah, long story short, please consider, you know, going to those meetings. And I think coaches need to do that. I think coaches, you are your brand. Like, you could be the best, you know, the best coach ever, but you, your connection, who you are as a person, how you, I mean, that really, really is, man, I don't want to say what it's about, because it should be about the competency and core competency, but man, who you are, you know, in that personal moment is so very important. And I know you would agree with that, Justin, what you're doing with your company. So,
well, 150%, Bruce. I mean, it's a really important time, you know, for us in society, and especially for the coaches and some of, it's called alternate, not lifestyle, that's the word I'm looking for, profession, you know, folks like ourselves, to be consistent. You used the word earlier, congruency. You know, that's really important, being congruent with your brand through and through, right? Because what you are about is ultimately what you'll attract. And I just think the whole discussion around, you know, in-person touch points and all that should never be minimized.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, I know obviously we do a lot of social promoting, and we're all about it, folks. Like, make no mistake about it. But I promise you with certainty that there is and will be nothing that ever replaces the human touch. You know, when you have a bond and a connection with someone, it's instant, right? And or not, maybe it develops over time, but it's there. So don't minimize or underestimate that in the grand scheme of things, and as you're developing your businesses, for that matter.
Right. That's why, right? That's why we're coaches. That's why people go into coaching, is because they see the value in that, and they see how we can be catalysts for change and growth and development. And it really is through that interaction that your coaching client really makes some connections. You know what I mean? just think about that Tony Robbins had a show here just recently. I guess it was in SoCal or somewhere. And man, you know, even though Tony Robbins is on stage, and you know, I'm not hyping Tony, but Tony Robbins. But man, I mean, right? But him being there and people feeling that energy and feeling that energy from each other's participants, right? People's lives are at a minimum changed, sometimes forever changed, if they continue beyond the moment, beyond the experiential, you know, high of that. But and you've experienced that yourself, right?
I've gone to several of his events, and it's funny segue, Bruce. Thanks for the tee up without us even coordinating it.
You're welcome.
Another interesting thing that happened last week is so Naomi and I set up dinner with some of our old friends from UK, but now they're living in basically Marbella, Spain, let's call it. But they're very much a part of the personal development, you know, coaching community with Tony. So they've actually been out in LA for a couple weeks now. Attending that event was part of it. And they're actually on the, I call them board of directors. They don't really have an official board of directors, but they're executives within Tony's most recent personal investment, OsteoStrong. OsteoStrong is essentially a, it's called a bone density clinic, you know, where you go in and it's designed to help people with or without osteoporosis, but strengthen and or rejuvenate their bone density. And it's sort of this brand new medically backed, you know, way of not only your bone density, but your body, strengthening your body, fitness, health. Tony Robbins has personally been the spokesperson, or is a spokesperson for him. If you go to their website, which is osteostrong.me, you'll see he's featured, you know, on the Meet the Team page. He's the top one listed. So they're very above board with it. I mean, there's nothing to hide. And Nicola and Gary are their names, and we had dinner with them, you know, very much on the board and in the conversations in that world. So, you know, it's funny interesting that you mentioned the whole Tony Robbins, you know, stuff. It's all related, right? Like, and when you are of that mindset, you attract others of that mindset. It's as plain and simple to that. I can almost instantly spot or pick out a person that's a, let's call it, quote unquote, believer from a non-believer, or someone that's open-minded from someone that's closed-minded, and choose to hang out and surround yourself with only people that are going to either make you grow, lift you higher, you know, push you to get better, because otherwise you're just wasting your time. I'd rather be, you know, not obviously literally, but by myself than to be surrounded with people that are going to pull me down. As Jim Rohn says, you know, it can take you can lead a, you know, army of thousands, but it only takes one crowd on your back to drag you down. So keep that in mind.
Exactly. Yeah, the positive peer support, positive support, you know, means everything. And you know, being around people that drag you down, that's just not going to be productive. You know, unless you're needing to hear some sort of corrective feedback about some sort of horrendous flaw, right? And you perceive that as negativity, but shy of that, you need to be around people that support you. And I know if difference, and as a solo person, for the most part, you have to be with fellow people on ice, because you can find other like-minded folks that are hoping that, you know, charge and, you know, revalidate, you know, and have somebody in a similar through a situation. So it just means everything, and I've really, you know, enjoyed, benefited relationships, and it's helped me, you know, because for the most part, man, you know, I'm, you know, come to work, see clients, go home, you know, and it's kind of a, I don't want to say it's, some people say it's lonely, but, you know, I like it, but I do realize the value of having those touch points and interactions with peers and a positive, you know, support piece.
100%. You know, you are your network, and, you know, so like we've discussed, you know, throughout our time here, right? Choose wisely. Choose wisely. And that's what it's all about, really, you know, and force yourself to go out and meet new people. That's part of the business development piece, by the way. Some of my best friends have actually come as way of what I thought maybe business, business relationships first, you know, but then turned out to be friends later. So, because I'm like, hey, you know, we're of similar mindset.
All right. Similar mindset. Yeah. Meeting, you know, some of the best sales guys I've ever met. They're always meeting people and doing favors for people, even though they weren't a customer. They still, you know, or, you know, help them out with whatever issue and be there for them. And, man, it can be exhausting, you know, but you put in the work, you are going to get, you know, you are going to get the return, I would say, most of the time. You are going to get that return. Like you said, you have a stack of cards that generates leads. You follow up on the leads. And at some point, it's a numbers game. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to be trite, but you get yourself out there in front of so many people, you're going to get some kind of return. Now, obviously, probably the most meaningful would be the face-to-face and in-person contacts. And then secondly would be whatever meaningful content and presence you can provide on the internet. And then for me, thirdly, is getting back with prospects immediately. Immediately. I'll sometimes, you know, whenever I have a break in a session, I'll check the voicemail, I'll check the email, you know, that every couple of hours, make sure that if I have a new prospect, that I get back with them. Even if it's late when I finish, I'll call them back and say, look, I know it's late, but I figured I'd give you the courtesy of a same-day call. That's what I say. I'd give you the courtesy of a same-day call. You know, and even the person who's tired will say, no, man, hey, call me tomorrow. But, man, thanks for calling. It means a lot, you know, that you would do that. Or for some people, if they need help or assistance, they're going to talk to you right then, even if it's 10 or whatever at night, which is a little bit strange, I know. But sometimes some of the folks that I work with are in trouble. They need some assistance pretty quick. So anyway, that's my mini.
Yeah, I call them SLAs, service level agreements, and you should have those for your business, and you should have those for not only your business but your communication, you know, in your business. Right. Very, very important. How long, you know, do you respond to a text or an email or phone call, voicemail, like you said?
Great point. Service level, great point. You know, and none of that is really articulated in my paperwork, Justin, I'll have you know. I just kind of do it as a matter of business hygiene and my value system, but good point. We'll have to do a show on that, man, or do another segment.
On contracting or SLAs let's call them good business communication practices, or best practices. Best practice.
There you go. Yeah, see? The old man, the boomer pulled through again, man.
Awesome.
I know, man. I get to see the rest of the day with a smile. Well, folks, that's about a wrap here on this week's Concierge Coaches Show. Good times, man. Good to kick it around and see what's going on out there with our collective conscious here on the show. Anyway, but yeah, be with us next week. It's going to be fun. I know Justin might not be with us, but, you know, it's going to be fun nonetheless. You'll want to check in and see what we got going on. Guaranteed you're going to like it. Feel free to check us out on our social media on Facebook, Concierge Coaches Show, LinkedIn, The Concierge Coaches. Instagram, The Concierge Coaches, and I can be reached on conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Nimergood, NIMERGOOD.com. So just mylastname.com. And I'm obviously available on social media as well. So really appreciate the time. Great discussion today, Bruce. And again, sorry for the listeners and to you, Bruce, that I'm unable to be around next week. Although, okay. Looking forward to coming back, you know, strong the following Monday.
Oh, yeah.
What should be some good stories from the week in New York.
Got some good stories, and I know you got a couple of chambers loaded for some of your folks coming back on. You know what I mean? So I'm looking forward to have them on the show, and that's going to be a great program as well. So, okay, everybody. Well, again, have a great week, and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. See y'all then.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.